Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How the World Ran Out of Everything Inside the Global Supply Chain, is a nonfiction work of economic journalism by Peter S. Goodman, a longtime New York Times global economics correspondent. The book examines how modern supply chains, designed for maximum efficiency and low cost, became highly vulnerable to shocks such as the COVID-19 pandemic. Rather than treating shortages as an isolated crisis, Goodman traces them to decades of business and policy choices that favored lean inventory, outsourcing, deregulation, and shareholder returns over resilience. The result is a detailed account of how goods move across oceans, ports, factories, rail lines, warehouses, and highways, and how disruptions in one part of the system can cascade globally. The book combines reported examples, industry analysis, and human-centered scenes from the labor force that keeps commerce moving. Its purpose is both explanatory and critical, to show why essential goods became harder to obtain and why the structure of global trade now demands serious reform. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how efficiency-first supply chain design created systemic fragility. A central argument of the book is that the global supply chain was not simply unlucky during the pandemic. It was built in a way that made it brittle. Goodman focuses on just-in-time logistics, lean inventory practices, and relentless cost reduction as methods that eliminated slack from the system. These approaches improved short-term profitability, but they also left companies with little room to absorb shocks. When shipping lanes slowed, factories shut down, or ports became congested, there was almost no buffer to prevent delays from spreading. The book shows that fragility was a structural feature of the model, not a temporary malfunction. This matters because it changes how readers interpret shortages. They are not merely signs of a one-time emergency, but evidence that the dominant business logic has long prioritized speed and low overhead over robustness. Goodman uses this framework to argue that resilience must be treated as a core design goal, not an expensive luxury. Secondly, labor conditions as a hidden cost of global logistics. The book gives sustained attention to the people who keep supply chains operating, including truck drivers, railroad workers, port labor, seafarers, factory workers, and agricultural producers. Goodman argues that the efficiency of modern logistics has often depended on squeezing labor, rather than improving systems. Wages, scheduling, safety, and working conditions receive less attention than the movement of goods, yet they are essential to whether the system functions reliably. By highlighting workers rather than only executives or economists, the book makes clear that supply chain crises are also labor crises. Delays, burnout, staffing shortages, and strikes are not side issues. They are part of the mechanism through which goods move. Goodman's reporting suggests that a supply chain built on exhausted and underprotected workers is not truly efficient, because its apparent savings conceal long-term instability. This perspective broadens the book beyond trade policy into questions of fairness, power, and the distribution of risk across the economy. Thirdly, the pandemic as a stress test that exposed long-standing weaknesses, COVID-19 is the book's most visible turning point. But Goodman does not present it as the original cause of supply chain dysfunction. Instead, the pandemic serves as a stress test that revealed pre-existing weaknesses at scale. Ships were delayed, warehouses filled up, transportation networks clogged, and consumers suddenly encountered shortages in everything from food products to medical items and electronics. Goodman uses these disruptions to show how quickly a tightly optimized system can fail when normal conditions break down. He is interested not just in the visible shortages, but in the chain reactions behind them. A factory closure affects shipping schedules, which affects port traffic, which affects trucking, which affects retail inventory. This cascading structure is one of the book's most important lessons. The pandemic made supply chains visible to ordinary consumers, but Goodman's deeper point is that the system had always been vulnerable. The crisis did not invent the problem. It exposed how little redundancy the global economy had allowed itself to keep. Fourthly, globalization, deregulation, and the power of major market players. Goodman links supply chain fragility to political and economic decisions that shaped globalization over several decades. He emphasizes deregulation, the concentration of market power, and the growing influence of large corporations and financiers over transportation and trade. In this view, the supply chain was optimized not for public reliability, but for the advantage of the largest players, who could extract savings while shifting risk onto workers, smaller firms, and consumers. The book also suggests that transparency suffered as markets became more complex and more controlled by intermediaries. This makes the chain harder to understand and harder to regulate. Goodman's analysis is useful because it connects daily shortages to structural governance issues: who controls infrastructure, who captures the gains from efficiency, and who bears the cost when things fail. The result is a critique of globalization that is specific rather than abstract. It does not reject international trade outright. Instead, it questions whether the current version of global integration is equitable, accountable, or stable enough to serve ordinary needs. Lastly, climate pressure, geopolitics, and the future of supply chain reform. The book looks beyond the pandemic to show that supply chain strain is likely to persist because the underlying environment is changing. Goodman points to climate-related disruptions, including pressures on major shipping routes, such as the Panama Canal, as well as geopolitical tensions that complicate trade relationships, especially between the United States and China. These developments suggest that the system faces multiple forms of instability at once. The book also considers how businesses and governments may respond through nearshoring, onshoring, and other attempts to reduce dependency on distant suppliers. Goodman does not treat these shifts as simple fixes, because moving production closer to home can create new costs and new vulnerabilities. Instead, he frames the future as a contest between the old efficiency model and a more resilient but more expensive alternative. This topic gives the book its forward-looking value. It is not only a diagnosis of recent shortages, but a guide to the strategic choices that will shape manufacturing, trade, and consumer life in the years ahead. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want a serious explanation of why modern economies can be so vulnerable despite their technological sophistication. It will be especially useful for business readers, policymakers, journalists, supply chain professionals, and general readers who followed pandemic shortages and want to understand the deeper causes behind them. Its practical value lies in showing how logistics, labor, trade policy, and corporate strategy interact in ways that are often hidden from consumers. Its intellectual value is in reframing supply chains as a political and social system, not merely a technical one. Compared with many books on globalization or business operations, Goodman's work stands out for its reporting depth and its ability to connect large-scale economic structures with human consequences on the ground. It is not just a complaint about shortages or a celebration of logistics. It is a clear argument that resilience, transparency, and labor conditions must be part of any serious discussion of how economies function. That combination makes it one of the more consequential recent books in its category. If you would like to support Peter S. Goodman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts.